In the mid-90s, when Isabella, whose name we've changed to protect her identity, was 15, she left Mexico with some friends in search of a better life. They ended up in Immokalee, Florida, and the teens were thrilled to find work right away in the tomato fields. They worked hard for very little pay. But the hardest part, Isabella said, was the constant sexual harassment they endured. As soon as she could, she left that farm, figuring she'd left behind the abuse. The next places she worked were no better.
It was hard because in this field, the harassment was more overt, more personal. The man who did it was more open about it. He tried to touch us. He said sexual things.
Isabella says many women were targeted, and she began to feel it was just how the fields were. Their work out there was supervised by men, who probably some years before had been pickers just like them, but they'd risen in the ranks. These men were also in charge of transporting the pickers from a central location in town to the fields. In essence, these guys, called troqueros, were the ones who had the power to decide who worked in the fields on any given day. Isabella said after about 10 years as a picker, this one particular troquero fixated on her and her friend.
It wasn't easy. He would get into the truck and touch us, and we would say no. And then one day he called me and told me to come to him because he had something to show me. He was the boss, the one who would give us work, so I went. And he was showing me some accounts that I didn't understand why he was showing it to me, right? And then he says he likes me a lot and he wants to have a relationship with me. And I told him no, that I wasn't looking for a relationship right now, that all I wanted to do was work and not have any problems, especially because he's a married man. He told me I wouldn't have any problems, that he would take care of everything, he'd pay my rent, and I told him all I want to do is work. Then he grabbed my hand and pulled me to him to touch him. I yanked it back, my hand. I felt bad, sad. I wondered, why is this happening? All I need to do is work.
After she refused his advances, he told her she no longer had work there. That's the kind of harsh repercussion many women who refused the sexual advances of supervisors faced in the fields over the years, says Lupe Gonzalo, also a tomato picker in Immokalee for years.
Many times it was the crew leaders who did the harassment.
Gonzalo watched this happen to so many women. The problem was endemic across all the fields, she says.
It's that women don't know that by law they have rights, that here sexual harassment is something punishable by law. Women didn't know this.
In the 90s, the one hope women had was an organization, the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, or CIW. They helped women file complaints. Gonzalo now works here as an educator, passing on info to pickers about their rights. She said that CIW members reached a point where they realized fighting cases one-on-one didn't do much to stop the widespread abuses. So women pickers at CIW decided to make stamping out sexual abuse a major part of the campaign they were fighting for other things, like better wages and work conditions. And this is when things really changed. It's a Sunday evening in early November, and the town of Immokalee is mostly shut down, except for the laughter and marimba tinkering coming out of the Coalition of Immokalee Workers building. The Harvey Weinstein scandal has the women talking. How is it these women with so much more money and status than them are still experiencing this harassment when these tomato pickers who earn minimum wage in backbreaking work have stamped it out? Is the essence of the hushed conversation. Gonzalo gives me the recap.
See, it's a problem we have eliminated. Now women speak out. When a woman feels safe to speak about the problems, the abuse can be stamped out because now the crew leaders and the abusers know there are consequences.
As I talk with women farm workers, they all say, without question, that in the past, sexual abuse was a constant problem. But now, they no longer experience it. So what did they do to stamp it out?
Real world sanctions, actual effects of violating this behavior.
Susan Marcus is the dean of the Padu Rand Graduate School, and she's been studying what pickers and the Coalition of Immokalee Workers have done in Florida. She says they honed in on one key point, something we tell our toddlers, there must be consequences for behavior that crosses the line, and it must be swift and visible to all. So the Immokalee workers fought to have the complaint system written into their labor agreement, the Fair Food Program. And they added this small but hugely significant detail, an independent body to be the arbiter, Marcus says.
Most violations take 2 or 3 days to investigate, but it's responding quickly, investigating thoroughly, and then having real-world sanctions. In the case of the farm workers, it's the growers losing market share.
Okay, let me explain. See, this labor agreement signed by the Coalition of Immokalee Workers in 2011, the Fair Food Program, brought large tomato farms on board with the new standards. One way they did this was to simultaneously convince the biggest purchasers in the country, think McDonald's, Walmart, Whole Foods, to only buy produce from fields that were part of the Fair Food Program, which basically meant they were treating their workers justly. If a farm owner doesn't take action against one of its sexually abusive supervisors, instant consequence. They won't be in the Fair Food Program, and the market for their tomatoes, well, disappears.
We're not talking about, like, gee, we're doing something extra for our folks.
Jonas Forms is the co-CEO of one of Florida's largest growers, Sunripe Certified Brands. He says, yes, there is a bottom-line incentive for CEOs to make sure their managers don't abuse their power, but he says it's also just the right thing to do.
I'm not doing anything extra for our folks. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing in accordance with the law and our own company ethics and morality.
He employs thousands of immigrants to work in his fields, and with the Fair Food Program, this means his company pays a living wage, provides better working conditions like good bathrooms and shaded areas for break time, and they use the hours when workers are on the clock to do mandatory sexual harassment trainings.
Es más, ser mi secretaria. Si tan solo te subieras a mi troca,
this is from their training video. It's a reenactment of what women experienced.
No, no lo acepto porque a mí me...
Vamos, María, ven, súbete a mi troca, María.
No, gracias, no lo
ven,
acepto.
Ven, María, ven.
No, súbete. Gracias, no tengo un interés.
We don't use the word, it's no longer acceptable behavior. We don't talk about it in those terms. We talk about it in terms of criminal behavior that will not be tolerated, and we will go after you.
The Fair Food Program covers about 35,000 workers in the tomato fields in Florida. It's not nationwide yet, nor does it extend to other crops. Lupe Gonzalo says the Coalition for Immokalee Workers is trying to change that. And while they work on that, she thinks some of Hollywood's women, or even us in the public radio world, well, we should take a leaf from the book of Florida's tomato pickers.
Just look at what we, women who have basically no opportunities, right? Look at how we built this program. I think working together is the only way to change these things that are happening.
For The World, Deepa Fernandez, Immokalee, Florida.